This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome to the post-election episode of the Matt Rooney Show, everyone. And look, I know why you're here. I know what you want to talk about. There's one thing on everyone's mind, and we're gonna lead with it on this episode of our little program on 1210 WPHT. What am I referring to? Did Matt start listening to Christmas music? Yes, I did listen to a couple tracks.
It's disrespectful.
On the Wednesday after Election Day. That's producer Dan Valdez, everyone. That's our resident Grinch here at the show, who believes that you go from Halloween to nothing right back to Halloween in the realm of popular entertainment and music.
My Halloween has not ended.
Your Halloween never ends. It's an eternal Halloween.
That's correct, because I'm going to one tonight.
Take Halloween with you all through the year. What are you going to tonight?
Another haunted attraction.
Is this one holiday themed?
No, it's just standard. And then I have one next week, a zombie run. So honestly, I'm booked up until the 15th of November, and then we'll go out in December for a couple, and then we'll go out in February for a couple, and March, and then May.
He is Jack Skellington, the Pumpkin King, everyone.
Yep.
You
yep,
are.
Here you go. If you really want some music, here you go. I don't know if you can hear that. There you go. Does this put you in the mood, Matt?
Fa la 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 la. Yes. I need to drown my electoral sorrows in a giant vat of candy canes. And that's kind of what this music reminds me of, drowning in a vat of candy canes. Is this your hell?
Is this what?
Is this your hell?
Yes.
If you died and you went to hell and you woke up and you were in a Christmas tree shop and this song was just looping endlessly.
No, honestly, my hell would just be listening to this and hearing you at the same time.
Dan's version of Dante's Inferno is a never-ending Christmas episode of the Matt Rooney Show, where we just review polls.
Yeah. Yep.
Two hours of polling.
And have like six guests on at a time.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we've got six pollsters on the line today, Dan.
Yep. There you go. There's Christmas music for the week.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, that was a good show. See you next time, everybody. No such luck. We've got a lot that we've got to unpack on this episode of our program. Remember, we air on Saturday nights on 1210, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen the old-fashioned way or via the Odyssey app. And, of course, because this is 2025, you can listen by subscribing to our rapidly growing podcast, the Matt Rooney Show podcast, available Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, all of the places that quality podcasts can be found. So we're not going to kill you with Christmas right off the bat, even though Thanksgiving now is just, a couple weeks away. We've got a post-mortem that we need to get through today. What the hell happened in election 2025? I mentioned polling a moment ago. Every single survey that was released, from the good pollsters, the bad pollsters, the ones who genuinely try to get to the truth, and those that you know that are just shilling for Democrats, they all predicted a tight race in New Jersey between Republican Jack Cittarelli and Democrat Mikey Sherrill. I think and I'm double checking right now with my fat fingers, I think the most distant margin, the largest margin between Cittarelli and Sherrill at any point in the RCP average in recent months was 7 points. Quinnipiac and Fox News in October said it was a 7-point race. I can tell you the Democrats that I spoke to in the lead up to Election Day, yes, some of them speak to me, even though they don't admit it at their cocktail parties, they thought that she was going to win by about 6 or 7 points.
Can I be honest with you, Matt?
Yeah.
I didn't think Jack should have had a chance at all.
But did you think he was going to lose by 13?
No.
And that's
Granted, I'm not in Jersey, so I couldn't vote for that. But I did watch it as soon as the polls closed, and I I mean, it was a blowout, but like I didn't expect it to be that like gap.
Oh yeah, the enormity of it. And that's the point that I'm making, that no one, whether they thought Jack was going to win by a point and a half or lose by six, thought it was going to be 13 points. But let's ask producer Dan, our Gen Z representative, our Latin X translator. What is it, Dan, that led you to believe in the run-up to Tuesday that Jack Cittarelli did not have a chance at winning the gubernatorial election?
I think polls just naturally always favor the left side or the Democratic nominee. I don't know why. I just think they naturally do. And I think the whole anti-Trumper and the whole government shutdown doesn't help a case anything. I think you might have had more results if the government was still open, but I think that doesn't help. I think people are still, I don't want to say brainwashed, but I just think people are getting, they're not really seeing things. They just vote it because it's a Democrat. And it's kind of like the lesser of the two evils, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a tighter race when it was Jack Cittarelli and Murphy.
Oh, well, so, yeah. Jack only fell short by 2.8 points.
Yeah.
In 2021.
It was 51 to Phil Murphy and 48 to Jack Cittarelli. So I have no idea how people are still happy with how jerseys ran. But, I mean, it's how they voted. That's all they can do. So I hope they're happy. Unless they just don't care.
I don't think it's that they don't care. I think a lot of people care quite deeply about trying to make New Jersey a place where you don't have to sell a kidney to afford your property taxes and all the other things that go into living. I think you hit a lot of important points, unsurprisingly, because as much as I bust your chops, your instincts are usually pretty good. I think the size of the landslide had a lot to do with the ongoing debate over who's responsible for the shutdown. Now, functionally speaking, there is no debate, or there shouldn't be, because it's not complicated. To get a clean CR, a continuing resolution through the United States Senate, you need more votes than Republicans currently have in the United States Senate. So unless Republicans get rid of the filibuster, they literally cannot reopen the government unless Chuck Schumer and a handful of his Democrats get on board with the proposition. So if we're being literal, which we know how much of that matters in political discourse, it's the Democrats' fault. They're holding the country hostage because their base wants free stuff for illegal aliens.
You also have to think of how many people didn't go out and vote.
Well,
we just see here, you know, probably how many people total voted and how many ballots they counted. But you have to think about how many people did not vote. Take the whole, you know, census of Jersey, how many people live in Jersey, and then compare that to how many people actually voted, how many ballots are counted.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you've got about 9 million people in the state, so clearly not all of them are registered to vote. Some of them are young, too young to vote. But you had probably about 3 million people vote on Tuesday, which is a pretty good turnout. And that's the part about this that is really surprising, and part of the reason nobody saw the scale of Jack's loss coming, because Jack actually not only added a six-figure sum to his 2021 total this past week. He got like something like 120,000 more votes than he got last time. He got more votes than Phil Murphy got 4 years ago when he beat Phil Murphy. So if you had told me that Jack was going to get the raw number of votes he got on Tuesday 3 months ago, I would have said, oh, wow, Governor-elect Cittarelli. Looks like Matt Rooney's headed to the state Supreme Court, Dan Valdez for Attorney General. That's where this thing is going. But there was a major Democrat surge, and then some soft Democrats and unaffiliateds that voted for the president last year who, like you're alluding to, Dan, said the hell with it. Here's one of my concerns, and I know we're jumping around a little bit, but it's an enormous topic. What concerns me in the aftermath is that some New Jersey Republicans who were never really down with America First anyway are already starting to default to it's Trump's fault, it's Trump's fault, it's Trump's fault. Let's be clear about something. Trump's finish last year in New Jersey was the closest any Republicans come to winning New Jersey since 1992. Dan Valdez was not born the last time a Republican did that well statewide. So if you want to look at Republican messaging during this shutdown, did you want to critique that? That's completely valid. And that's a, that could be a topic that could fill a two-hour program unto itself.
What year did you say?
What do you mean, what did I say?
You said the year that I wasn't born.
1992.
I wasn't born. I think you said 2002, and I was like, I was born
in
2002.
No, you were born in 2002. 1992, you were not even a glimmer in your parents' eye.
Nope. No, I wasn't.
Just a distant nightmare that was yet to be realized.
Yeah.
So, look, it was a wholesale system failure, folks. At the end of the day, as much as New Jersey has gotten more purple, when there are 850,000 more Democrats than Republicans, which there still are, even though the gap has shrunk quite a bit since 2021, you've got Democrats and their media allies blaming the president for holding up SNAP benefits, food stamps, heading into Thanksgiving. When you've got concerns about Republicans' willingness to fight to support this America First agenda, you can kind of see how a perfect storm comes together. But even without all of that, I still think it's a very tough thing for a Republican to win when there is a Republican in the White House, simply because there's a lot of people that just, even if things are great, they like to go in the opposite direction. So I guess this is my message for you at the onset of today's show. There is a lot that needs to be discussed. There's a lot that needs to be worked on. We're going to get to some of that on this program. But it is a serious misstep to try to just pick your favorite pet issue and think that it alone could make up a 13-point gap. It couldn't. There's no one thing. Like, yes, voter ID would be wonderful. Yes, it'd be better if national Republicans grew a pair, right? Yes, it would be nice if Jack Cittarelli's messaging at the end was a little tighter and that he had responded more ferociously and aggressively to some of Mikey Sherrill's lies, right? But again, none of that unto itself makes up a 13-point deficit. There are things that need to be addressed heading into 2026 if Republicans want to hold on to their majority in Congress, including their seats in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And that may be one of the silver linings coming out of this, that New Jersey and everywhere else we got our teeth kicked in this week might be the canary in the coal mine. It might provide the opportunity for Republicans to get their collective crap together.
Let me ask you something. You lived in Jersey your whole life. Yeah,
I have.
Well, that sucks for you.
And as we sit here today, I can't entirely disagree with you.
That sucks for you. How do you go from 2013, when the whole state is essentially red and Chris Christie got elected, from going to 2017, 2021, and now 2025, where they just went blue? I don't understand. Was Christie that bad to where it's like, yeah, we need change? And Phil Murphy were really that good? Or they just Democrats need to retain power?
Well, so, couple things about that. When Chris Christie won in 2013, that was kind of a perfect storm in the other direction, right? So Barack Obama had just gotten reelected the year before. His popularity was dipping. So you have kind of that opposite effect, right? Where some people just naturally want to gravitate towards the opposite party, regardless of how the president is doing. Christie was also receiving gazillions of dollars in earned media from the legacy media outlets in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. He was perceived as this model of leadership for how he helped the state get through that natural disaster. He also cut a lot of deals with Democrat bosses in New Jersey who laid down and did not campaign or lift a finger for Barbara Buono, who was the Democrat state senator at the time, who was running against Chris Christie. Brian Stack, he's one of the big bosses on the Democrat side up in Hudson County. He turned out gazillions of voters for Mikey Sherrill this time around. He was holding a rally with Christie back in 2013. So my point to you, Daniel, is it wasn't really that New Jersey was redder back then. It's that there were some unique things about Christie and the Christie administration and the circumstances of the time that got him through. I think the better question is, how the hell did we go from last year, where there are towns like North Bergen where Donald Trump won the Hispanic vote, to this year when Jack Cittarelli lost it by 30 or 40 points? I think some of it is because, as a movement, folks, we have to remind everyone that we are dedicated to populist economic conservatism, that our number one goal is to improve and increase the prosperity and the freedom of the American people. And when Republicans are not projecting that, Republicans do not win. And it's part of the reason, I think, why a lot of these Hispanic families that took a flyer on the GOP last year decided to either stay home or vote in the other direction in 2025. The good news is we know it's possible because we won them before.
But at the same time, I just want to ask some of these people, you know, people who voted, what they liked about her and what they didn't like about him and vice versa.
I don't think they know too much about her. I think that's part of the problem. They heard Mikey Sherrill, mother of four helicopters, I'm going to freeze your electric bill.
Right. Or they're just seeing the D behind her name and voting willingly with the party.
Yeah.
Because you have the people who will never vote Republican because they're Republican, and you have the people who will never vote Democrat because they are a Democrat.
That's right.
So, like, it's either these people are just not paying attention to what their, you know, what their agenda is, or they're just voting with the party. I mean, it's the same people who voted in New York City. You know, he got elected the mayor, and now all of a sudden people are like, yeah, this isn't at all what he promised. Yeah. No S. Like, I don't know what you guys expect. So the people who voted for her, I hope they're happy and I hope they get everything they want. But don't come over here and bitching and moaning that it's not what you voted for.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I think that's part of the problem, and you nailed it, my friend, that, and we've talked about this before in the Matt Rooney Show, that politics is increasingly becoming tribal. And on the left, leftism has become a secular religion in this country. We talked about this poll last week before the election, New York City, right? That Mom Donnie was actually losing almost every major religious group. Christians, Jews, practicing Hindus, they were all voting against Mom Donnie. He won, he was leading with Muslims, which he is Muslim, so that's not a huge surprise. And people that did not report having a faith. So what the left has done is they've kind of replaced traditional religion with a secular religion. And what's the problem with a secular religion? I can't prove it or disprove it with logic, right? They believe in things like 67 genders, not on the basis of science or empirical fact or having gone through a substantive debate and arrived at that conclusion. It's just something they believe the same way that yours truly as a Roman Catholic believes in the Immaculate Conception, right? It's an article of faith for them. So the question, young Master Daniel, is can you win over someone who isn't just making a political choice, they're exercising what they've kind of adopted as their religion? I think the answer is you can't do much about that. You got to go to others.
I mean, I'm going to say something controversial. You can agree with me or not.
Oh boy.
I think it's hard to convert people, especially nowadays. It's hard to not really convert, but it's hard to convince people to go to the other side, whether they agree with it or disagree with it more. Like me, I want to say that I'm middle, leaning right, but like I'm not afraid to admit when someone's doing anything bad or good. But I think you have the people who watch too much, you know, TV or whatever, and they listen to the news and they listen to all this kind of stuff where it's like, oh, the Republicans are always bad, so I'm never ever going to go to the right. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it's hard to convince people to actually do something that might better them, but they're just going with the safe option because that's what they've done their whole life.
Yeah, there's probably something to be said about that. I mean, call it muscle memory, call it conservatism, little c, which is why Republicans need to give people a bold, brash alternative to leftism in states like New Jersey. And I think I'm not going to spend 2 hours today crapping on Jack Cittarelli. Jack's a good guy, and he worked really damn hard this election cycle. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that need to be done better. And one of them is we need a party with a whole hell of a lot more fight in New Jersey. And I've shared some ideas on my website, savejersey.com. I've probably spoken to half of the legislative caucus in New Jersey that's left because Republicans lost 5 seats at least this past week because there was a Democrat wave. I'm going to share those ideas with all of you on this program, and you can tell me what you think. You can go ahead and you can tweet them at me, of course, over on X. My handle's Matt Rooney and Jay. When we get back from this commercial break, I'm going to run through some of those ideas. And again, I don't in any way represent any of this as an elixir. That's one of the themes of this show. And if you don't like it, you can tune out now. There is no single thing you can do to make up 13 points. It is a systemic failure, and, how to eat the bear, one bite at a time, right? So that's what we're going to work on, and I think my list would be a good jumping-off point for the Republicans that still remain, including yours truly, in the great Garden State. That's one of the big topics on today's Matt Rooney Show, but don't worry, we've got some national news as well. We've got Twit Talk. There's a lot to do as we head into the holiday season and into the official start of the midterm cycle here on 1210 WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
Matt Rooney here on 1210 WPHT doing our autopsy of election 2025. A rough night by any measure for Republicans and a good night for Democrats. I do wonder whether or not Democrats are going to ultimately regret some of their victories in 2025 down the road, because eventually, now as we move into the midterm cycle and eventually another presidential cycle in a few years, the leaders of their party, the folks that are doing the most to animate the base, are psychos like Jay Jones in Virginia that talk casually about the murder of children. Or, of course, in New York City, where we now have an avowed communist as the head of the Democrat Party in not just the city, but let's face it, in the state of New York. He's the one that is animating their voters. He is their spirit animal. And do you want to run on that in New York City or Northern Virginia? Okay, maybe you do, because those parts of the world are pretty damn blue now. But how is Mom Donnie going to play in Michigan, Western Pennsylvania, some districts down in Texas, right? Arizona gets a little bit more complicated. You are judged by the company you keep. All of our parents tell us that when we're young, right? We'll see. Time will tell. Now, I promise you before the break that I've been putting some pen to paper. My good friend, regular guest on this station, Mike Donahue, chairman of the Cape May GOP, he always correctly says that you want to avoid doing too much conclusory thinking immediately after an election because emotions are running high. You can't quite see the full picture yet. You need a little bit of time to be able to digest it all. But Republicans didn't just lose the governorship in New Jersey this year. They lost at least 5 seats in the Assembly. The Senate wasn't up, but the Assembly was. And they lost 2 seats in 21, which is the Westfield part of New Jersey, the New York suburbs. They lost 1 seat out in Morris County. They lost at least one, in Atlantic County. Just brutal. And they lost one in Burlington County, too, right in our core listening area. We have to think about how to rebuild now. There's only 23 Republican assemblymen left once the new legislature is sworn in at the beginning of next year. That is the smallest, Producer Dan, Republican caucus since the Watergate era.
What was that?
So like? Neither, that was the 70s. So neither you nor I were born at that point. That's how long ago it was. So I've proposed a few ideas. Some things that I think ultimately would help at least set the GOP in the legislature back on track to rebuild its brand. Because remember that, as much as everyone wants to point fingers at the president today, The president is still more popular than the Republican Party generally. It's for a reason. New Jersey Republicans have been losing for a while. In the last two cycles alone, they've lost 11 assembly seats. So how do we begin to change the culture? How do we begin to signal to those voters that Dan was talking about who didn't vote or maybe switched allegiances on Tuesday? How do we begin to communicate to them that, hey, this Republican Party is something different and it's worth fighting for?
I think here's another thing that I will say.
You can say a lot. And can I tell you why you can say a lot?
Yeah, because free speech.
Free speech. It's Free Speech Station. Also, you're paid to be here and to talk.
This is true.
But it's also
the Producer Dan and Matt Rooney show.
It's the Producer Dan feet Matt Rooney.
Yep.
F-E-A-T. This isn't a fetish thing. It's not feet like your feet you walk on.
It could be.
Maybe that's where we're going to go if things keep heading in this trajectory. But no, the reason why it's important you talk, Dan, is because you know as kind of an independent-minded Gen Zer who supported the president last year, but you're not an automatic vote for the GOP, you're part of the group that Republicans are in danger of losing here.
I technically didn't even support the president. I was a Vivek supporter the whole time.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, You're somebody who lined up on that side of the ledger when push came to shove, but yes.
I think the Republican Party, again, going to sound bad, is just so far up Trump's ass where it's just not everyone, but I think a lot of the people are like, the Republican Party is his and everyone else that's trying to run as a Republican is not going to be like loyal to him. At least that's what I see as like a younger person. Everyone that I have talked to or everyone that I have seen on social media or whatever just hates the guy. And they hate Republicans because solely of him.
Well, but let me ask you this question, okay? Because obviously I don't feel that way about the president, but we need to dig into this.
No, I'm not saying you, but...
Oh, yeah. No. I'm just trying to set it up for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So these people that hate the president that you're referencing, how did they vote last year?
Like in the 2024 election?
Yeah, yeah. What did they do?
They voted for Kamala.
Okay, all right. So those individuals, and I'm not discounting anybody's viewpoint here.
But here's the thing.
Right?
That's
not a loss this cycle then, right? Because they weren't with us to begin with. I'm talking about people who, because it's a real thing now in New Jersey. We've got Trump Cheryl voters. It makes me want to vomit, but that's a thing now.
It is a thing. I don't know what makes that a thing, but I will, you know, if there was someone that I liked on either side, mm-hmm. I personally don't let party decide who I vote for mm-hmm. just because the Republican, I'm not going to vote for them specifically. But if there's something that I like and I really, really like about someone on the left, I'll willingly say it. And if there's something I don't like, I'll also say that. Everyone that I've talked to, seen on social media who voted for Trump has absolutely voted for Trump. 100%. But I think that in my day and age, I think everyone is either one side or the other, more so on the left. But younger people, I don't think vote for the two parties. I think they just solely vote on emotion.
Well, and that's why, to zero in on this a little bit more as we walk through this today, I think at the end of the day, the issue is less the personality of Trump, because I think at this point, the people that hate him, hate him. The people that love him, love him. There's a lot of people, like anybody in life, that feel kind of meh, but for him, it's probably a smaller percentage of the population than you would ordinarily expect. It's about whether or not they're more motivated to vote and whether or not specifically they think they're getting results, right? Like, case in point, inflation has undeniably slowed. The president's policies have been very successful in that regard. But there's also no doubt that after years of Bidenflation, it's not as if your life is less expensive than it was 3 years ago in most respects, right? And regardless of whether or not that's the president's fault, many people are still going to blame the guy in charge. So if you went and voted for radical immediate change last year, and you don't necessarily feel like you're getting that immediate change in a way that's tangible, that probably has more to do with some people switching their votes, don't you think?
Probably, yeah. Again, I don't know why people switch. I don't know if people are just like, oh, I'm fed up with this and I want change, or they're like, I really have no idea. I don't know if someone's convincing them. I have no idea. We have to ask those people, but I mean.
Oh, sure. And I think that's maybe what we should do with the Matt Rooney Show. We're not going to have 15 guests on because, as we joked about in the first segment, it gives Dan hives when there's too many guests, partly because it takes away from his airtime. That's one of the reasons. He also just also, really.
You could also say that if you are voting for basically for the person and not the party, you should be registered as an independent so it doesn't skew numbers. You get what I'm saying?
Do that for me again. I want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding you.
So, like, if you, as you said earlier, if you have, you know, if you voted for Trump, but also you voted for Cheryl.
Cheryl, right.
You should be considered an independent. So it doesn't skew numbers one way because the Democrats are going to be like, oh, they're a Democrat because they voted for Cheryl. And they're a Republican, so they can, or they voted for Trump.
Right. I think I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I think I get what you're saying. I mean, look, here's how I see it. I think that there are a lot of people out there that are still hurting. And it doesn't mean that Trump's policies aren't working. They are working. It's just that after many years in the COVID and post-COVID era of suffering, they want results quicker. So part of the solution for Republicans going forward, and I think that this is critical, is just simply showing up and communicating to people that we get it and we're working on it. Now, it's not some BS thing, right? Like, it's not like you're not also actively working on policies to address the problems out there that are giving people a sense of not getting ahead. Republicans absolutely are in most respects. But, I mean, how often have you had this issue at your house, folks, where you're arguing with a loved one or maybe even at work and somebody just wants to be validated, right? So we got to validate people. We do. So, I mean, look, case in point, I would love to see Republicans. I would love to see the president going to diners, going to factories, talking about all of the many successes that we have had. Like, for example, Jack Cittarelli did a diner tour, Dan. I know you've seen this, right, where he went all over to all the diners all across the state. He joked about on election night probably having more French onion soup than anyone's ever had or consumed in a single lifetime. How about talking about how we just got rid of the tax on tips? How about talking about playing up the fact that, hey, now your overtime's not going to be taxed? There's so many things. I mean, the average New Jerseyan's gotten a few $1,000 federal tax cut thanks to President Trump. You did not hear about any of that in the election. And I think the Republican Party collectively bears a lot of blame for not talking about the crap that genuinely matters to people that they've done. And also, again, specifically addressing and validating people's concerns. I cannot tell you, Dan, because I did a lot of campaigning myself this year, how many young people in New Jersey I spoke to, which I'm defining young here as 20s, early 30s, who make like pretty good money. I'm thinking of one individual specifically who makes about 85 grand, which in some states in this country, it wouldn't make you rich, but you'd be pretty comfortable. They're living in a family attic right now. Living in a family attic. Now, that's obviously kind of depressing for a young person for some obvious reasons, but it also does other stuff, right? It stifles your social life. It stifles your ability to date, right? Nobody wants to go back to your grandma's attic, right? It's a problem, and I think Republicans just need to spend more time talking about it. Sometimes that's the first step in regaining people's confidence. But
I think the biggest thing that people need to discuss, specifically for the future generation, and I don't know if anyone wants to, and I don't think they're ever going to become an agreement to, I think the economy needs to be better. I'm tired of paying over $1,500 for rent, tired of paying over $200 for four things at the grocery store. I'm tired of people buying things and jacking up the prices, you know, all this kind of stuff. I think someone needs to address it. They're not going to, because the left sees it one and the right sees it another. So I don't think that'll ever happen, but those two need to work together to get that together. Or they need to get together to come to an agreement so the future generation can actually be better off and be like, hey, we got to save these people.
Well, therein lies the problem, though, right? The left's solution is to continue to intervene in the market and subsidize things, which is part of the reason why we ended up with, for example, a housing crisis to begin with. You can't make it easier for people to buy homes until you get inflation under control and you also create the conditions for their wages to go up. I know it sounds overly simplistic, but you can't get there with the left solutions. Now, if you want me to be a little bit darker and more conspiratorial about it, I'm not saying every Democrat in the country wants everybody living in basements, but is it easier to use their campaigns of victimization to appeal to people when people are getting rich? No. The Democrats benefit from having a lot of people upset with the system. I mean, isn't that a lot of what happened in New York City? This past week, there's a lot of young people that can't afford to live in New York. I mean, who can afford to live in New York? Even a lot of old, successful people can't afford Manhattan prices or even Queens prices at this point. But they are giving up on capitalism and they're turning to socialism. And that's, again, I don't think I have to explain to anybody listening to this why that's a problem. But let me run through some of these things that I wrote this for the Assembly GOP, but I think they apply to Republicans everywhere. Okay? Now, the first is a little more specific for legislatures, but what I'm proposing for the Assembly Republicans that remain in New Jersey is a general strike. And by that, I mean, I cannot tell you as a guy that runs a news website and has a radio show how many press releases I get with Republicans bragging about how they're adopting a bill to have a national hot dog day or to rename a road after a dead Cub Scout leader. They also sign on to some bills, some legislative overtures that don't necessarily make anybody freer or more prosperous, but they do it in exchange for getting a road project in their district. So what I'm proposing is that Republicans get together, all 23 of them in the Assembly, and the Senate should get in on this too, and say that, listen, if a bill's coming up, don't care, Daniel, if it's a Republican bill, a Democrat bill, if it makes people more prosperous, if it improves the security of the state of New Jersey, we'll vote for it. If it doesn't, we're not going to introduce it, and we're not voting for it. We don't care how neutral or benign it appears. We don't care if you're promising something for it. We're not doing it. I think it would send a very powerful signal to everyone that we're done wasting their time. We have two goals: make you safer, make you have more money in your pocket so that you're not constantly living paycheck to paycheck and you can move up and on with your life. I think that's the first step. They also got to start reading from the same script. They need to select a handful of issues, most of them are affordability related, and make that the cornerstone of every single floor speech, social media post, state house rally, stump speeches back in the district. This is marketing 101. Repetition increases recall. That's how you brand. I'm not saying you need to call it a contract with New Jersey, right? That might be a little too on the nose for people that know their political history. But I would bring in Newt Gingrich. I would bring in former Speaker Gingrich because his early 90s masterstroke with coming up with an easy-to-understand contract is part of the reason that Republicans were able to take back Congress for the first time in generations under his leadership. Also, stop calling it affordability all the time. And this one may make a couple of you scratch your heads, but just stay with me on this. I'm tired of hearing about affordability because I think it means something different to everyone, Daniel. And it also doesn't really mean anything specific, right? Like affordability to me is then affordability to you. Some people are okay living an expensive lifestyle if they think they're getting something for it or if it's serving their values, whichever values they might be. We need to start talking as Republicans about the freedom to thrive. We just don't want to afford to live in a place like New Jersey, treading water, scraping by, paycheck to paycheck. We want to thrive. We want to get ahead. We want to buy that new car. We want to take that vacation. We want to get to a point where there's a couple hundred bucks in the family budget at the end of the month to go out for pizza and ice cream with the kids. That's what we need to talk about. New Jersey's population originally exploded because lifelong New Yorkers and Philadelphians and a lot of new immigrants moved to the New Jersey suburbs for the American dream, to buy that house in suburbia, to get ahead, to do better than their families did before them. We need to tap into that. We need to make that the explicit goal.
Yeah, I mean, capitalism is the way to go. I think prices should be driven by supply, demand, and all that kind of stuff. I don't think the government should be involved in anything like that. So obviously that gets rid of socialism and communism. However, you shouldn't be having somewhat of a beginner apartment at $1,600 because people can't afford it. Just me. I don't know.
It depends on what we're talking about here. If you're proposing price controls, all you're going to do then is contract the market because landlords are going to ultimately decide it ain't worth it. And then you're going to feed the housing shortage problem that we have in a lot of areas where prices are already out of control.
No, I don't think you should have pricing control. I don't think you need a limit on whatever. But like, if it's a rundown apartment and like it's been on the market for so long and you're asking like $1,600 for it, no one's going to pay that. Which is what I did in my last apartment.
Yeah. So we need to improve the stock of affordable housing. And part of how you do that specifically in New Jersey is you have to make housing less expensive for the people that own the damn housing. If landlords, and I'm speaking to somebody that's got some rental property, right? If I didn't have to pay highest in the nation property taxes, I would need to charge the rent that I charge. It's pretty damn simple. Well, now, of course,
if you ever get property in PA, let me know.
Yeah, well, I told you before you could live in one of my apartments. But you'd have to move over to this side of the river.
Not doing that.
I know. That's your line in the sand, and I get it. I respect it. But I'd be more than happy to be your landlord, because then I could harass you more than I already do.
You'll get blocked.
Here's the next thing that people need to do, and I think that, Dan, you're going to support me on this. Republicans need to start talking like real people, okay? Trump and Christie, what are two things that they had in common? Besides being from this part of the world, right? Trump's Diet a New Yorker. Coke. Diet Coke. Yes, it's true. Dad bods. That's another thing. But specifically, when they were both respectively at their prime, they oozed authenticity. I can't tell you how many times somebody told me about Chris Christie back in the day before he went to the dark side. Like, dude, I don't agree with your boy Christie on everything, Rooney, but he seems like he believes what he says he's going to do, what he says he's going to do. So part of being relatable, okay, is you have to relate to people's experiences, and you do that with more normative language. Like, for example, stop talking about, we're going to lower your property tax rate, increase ratables. No, talk about how you want to help people be able to buy homes without selling a kidney, right? This is just simple, successful rhetoric 101 here. I've said this about the pro-life movement for years. Stop talking about the sanctity of life. I understand what that means. I'm a Christian, but that's not a language that's understood, especially in a country that, even though the trend is beginning to turn over, thank God, a lot of people don't think of things in theological terms. I've got a couple more things on this list too, Dan, but let's take a break as time's getting on here, play some ads, make some money because we are capitalists, and we'll come back and round this out along with Dan's Fact of the Week in a second.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Back on the Matt Rooney Show, running through my list of things that Republicans need to do if they want to stop sucking. Can't think of a more plain way to say it, but that was what we were just talking about before the break. One of the things they need to do in the wake of this year's electoral meltdown is to start talking like a real person. That's what we do here on the Matt Rooney Show. Dan and I are serious about making it conversational, but it's not artifice. Like, this is just, it's who we are. And it's one of the reasons why this show continues to grow. What's something else? And this one Dan might disagree with a little bit, but screw bipartisanship. And this is what I mean when I say that. I am not suggesting, and in fact, I've already said earlier in this program that if Republicans want to win in New Jersey, hey, if a Democrat has an idea that actually is going to make New Jersey more affordable, I guess a broken clock could theoretically be right twice a day, then fine, great, wonderful. But you're unlikely to get that in New Jersey. Usually what it means in New Jersey is capitulation of your principles. Democrats put up a crappy bill. They promise you some I don't know, whatever, you know, extra money in your budget for your legislative staff. They promise you a project back home in your district that would make you look good to some of your constituents. That's what they mean when they're talking about bipartisanship. But Republicans are now going to find themselves in a super minority in New Jersey. There actually is going to be a veto-proof Democrat majority for the first time in a while. So don't focus on trying to just get along for the sake of getting along. People vote for someone who they believe understands what they feel because that person feels it too and is willing to actually fight to make immediate change. I joke all the time. No one has ever hired me as an attorney because they thought I would just be so darn likable and accommodating to the other side of the litigation.
I didn't even know you were a lawyer, first of all.
We were doing so well for almost a full hour here.
Yeah, well, I had to sneak it in somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to.
Yep.
But that nobody ever has. They don't want somebody just going to throw stuff against the wall without any strategy, but they want an advocate, and that's what Republicans need to be. And part of that is no more offshore wind bailouts. Many Republicans in New Jersey voted for a offshore wind bailout bill this year. A lot of them are now out of a job. Coincidence? I'll let you be the judge. And finally, we got some young guns in this caucus. You got to promote them, right? There's some other people with young kids that are legislators. It's all about that relatability we discussed. It's easier to relate to someone who you believe understands your experience. This is a partial list, but I think it's the beginning of a framework of a roadmap for Republicans to get back to where they need to be. And we're going to explore that a little bit more in the second hour, but we got some more stuff coming up. We got Dan's Fact of the Week. We've got Twit Talk. So much more still ahead, as well as the national beat. Election 2025 over, the midterms now loom. The holidays are upon us. Who's going to do it better than the Matt Rooney Show? I'll answer it for you. No one here on 1210 WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life. I am Matt Rooney. This is the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Appreciate you making time for us, as always, as we begin our dose of dose for our bilingual listeners here on our little program that could. Remember, not just Saturday nights on the radio, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but also via the Odyssey app and by way of our podcast, which you can get from all the places where the kids are going to get their podcasts. And I am joined this week by the one, the only, producer Dan Valdez, who is here on another win streak. I think it's been a few weeks in a row now that he's actually shown up for work. So good job, Daniel. Santa Claus will be bringing you presents instead of putting coal in your stocking a few weeks down the road. Good on you.
That's
buddy.
Always good. That's always good. Thanks.
I'm it's always good.
Trying to be a better person.
You're welcome. Can we talk about a way in which you're not that great of a person?
I guess so.
If that'd be okay. So I want to fill, because Dan and I don't hold back with the listeners. We share all, right? We're one big happy family here at the Matt Rooney Show. We don't have an army like Zeoli, right? We start at six club like Kale and company. But that familial relationship nevertheless exists. It's based on mutual respect and oversharing. And my overshare right now is that I thought I was doing a nice thing by extending an invitation to my incredibly exclusive posh Christmas party that I throw most years with my lovely wife, to producer Dan, and the disproportionately lovely Bella, his girlfriend, who sometimes joins us on the program. And Dan's reaction isn't like, oh, wow, thanks, man. This is awesome. Or, oh, cool, yeah, I'll see you there. It's, yeah, we're talking about it. We're talking about it.
There
was, well, I didn't ask you for bone marrow. I invited you to a Christmas party.
There was something else that we were interested in doing, and it was that day of the Christmas party. So Belle and I are deciding what we want to do. Do we want to go to the coveted, exclusive Rooney party or what? More than likely, we'll probably end up going. and we'll just do the other thing on a different day. But
yeah, I mean, it's not that complicated. This is a big deal for you. You are flying well above your station by coming to this party.
Is that where I mean, I'll take a private jet in Jersey if you really want to.
You're going to have to put on a shirt.
Am I actually? Never mind. I don't want to go anymore.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
I ain't throwing on a dress shirt. I ain't doing all that.
No, you don't have to wear a dress shirt.
Cool. I'll come in shorts and come in a t-shirt, and I'll come my high noons.
The recommended attire is festive, but that does not mean it has to be fancy. Festive and fancy are distinct categories of dress.
Oh, I got a festive. I got an ugly Christmas sweater that lights up.
You can absolutely wear that.
It's a Santa Claus riding a motorcycle.
And I'm looking forward to seeing that. But for the record, we have to explain this. So there's a little bit of an age gap between Dan and I, right? Dan's in his mid 20s now.
Yeah.
I'm 40. And what that means is that I'm in an age cohort where there are children and Santa trains and cookie making parties and all of that assorted nonsense, right? So I have to send my Christmas invitations if I'm going to have a party with, you know, a few or several dozen or more people. I got to send that after Halloween. Now, Dan, who is not at that stage yet, can afford to make last minute decisions, and I'm deeply envious because it would definitely make life less stressful. But I no longer have that flexibility. Yeah, everything's got to be planned.
Like Val and I just kind of talk about it, and we're like, yeah, we're going to do it.
Dan could wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what, Bella, let's go on a haunted house tour.
That's basically what we did today.
That's what you did today.
Well, I kind of been planning this one. I was trying to get people from work to come with. So I kind of planned this one. But for the most part, we're like, yeah, we wake up, you know, we talk about it on a Friday in October. And we're like, hey, we can go to a haunted house. And like, sure. And then we go.
But you're having trouble getting people to drive like one town over.
It's not even one town. It's like an hour.
But in a state like Pennsylvania, an hour is not that far of a drive.
No, I can make it like a half hour, honestly.
Because, of course, you know, speed limits are just recommendations. They're not.
Correct. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not the law. Or
anything with a black border around the sign is just a recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. At least where Dan is concerned.
Stop signs are requirements. Yield signs are requirements.
Yes.
But speed limits, they're recommendations.
That's all correct. That's all correct. I'm glad that you've got the right attitude about these things, Daniel. So we've got a few more things we've got to cover on today's program. Talked a lot about New Jersey, obviously, at the first hour, the election 2025 meltdown for Republicans. Canary in the coal mine in the Garden State. Can the GOP get its collective crap together for the midterm cycle, at which point Congress, the Trump agenda, will be on the line. We also have Dan's Fact of the Week coming up here shortly, as well as TikTok. And we can't ignore something that I think did play a significant role in the size and scope of Democratic victories this week, which is the ongoing shutdown battle, which is a battle I think that Republicans have been doing historically much better than they ordinarily do, I think for a few different reasons. But with the advent of the holidays and this ongoing battle over SNAP, and which is food stamps, by the way, for those that don't know the nomenclature here, and the media is never on our side. And this is something that I will admit to being not a blind spot for me, but something that I'm prone to forget from time to time, and I need to remind myself. As much as the news industry has been democratized in the modern age, and by that, I mean they don't have the monopoly at the legacy outlets that they used to enjoy, because now you've got websites like SaveJersey.com, you've got stations like 1210. There is an alternative narrative out there to be found. They still have the power to project and perpetuate lies, and they can go pretty far. Like, you know, case in point, New Jersey this year. Mikey Sherrill told everybody she's going to freeze their electric bill. She can't freeze your electric bill. She might be able to find a way to defer some of the expense, but you are going to have to pay for it. That's inarguable. That's a fact. That's not opinion. I think we're seeing a similar effect in this SNAP debate. And the Supreme Court on Friday, in the past 24 hours, granted a temporary reprieve to the Trump administration. This is according to LifeZet. Allowing the Trump administration to withhold approximately $4 billion from the SNAP system while it continues to engage in legal challenges over how food stamps are going to be funded and administered while this record government shutdown continues. Now, Dan's girl, Justice Brown Jackson, had issued an administrative stay.
What a high, dude.
Yeah, try to keep it together here, Daniel. We're professionals. If you need to step away from the microphone to get a cold shower.
I do.
I'll keep the show going. Okay.
I do.
All right, I'll hold this down for you while you take care of all that. She had issued an administrative stay, hitting pause on a lower court order that would have compelled the administration to fund November payments. And these payments would be for around 42 million Americans. That's a hell of a lot of people in a country of about 340 million. That's math that even a teachers union member could do. So this stay is going to remain in effect for about 48 hours. And then a Boston U.S. Court of Appeals, that's the First Circuit at the federal level, is going to issue a ruling. So stay tuned. We'll see where this ends up going. But the bottom line is Republicans need to get aggressive here, because I said in the first hour, I'm going to repeat it again. You're not entitled to your own facts. You're only entitled to your own opinion. Republicans cannot open the government without 60 votes in the United States Senate. Republicans have 53 U.S. senators. So unless a bunch of Democrats get on board, they can't pass a clean CR, a continuing resolution. It's just mathematically not possible. You're not, that's not something that we could debate. It just is. But Republicans need to do a much better job in their messaging in this respect. Because what Tuesday's results suggest to me is that the messaging battle is in danger of being lost here. And that's all that matters. Perception is what rules our existence. I wish that was not the case. I wish that everyone had the sagacity of a philosopher king and could sit down dispassionately and analyze the evidence and had all the knowledge of how our government works and made a sober decision. But that's not life. That's not reality. It's never been our reality for as long as there's been governments. And Republicans, I think, sometimes forget that. We get so caught up in the middle of doing the right thing and trying to accomplish our goals and just assuming to some degree that people are just going to get the logic of what we're up to without us having to explain ourselves, and then you end up in this situation. So let Tuesday be a warning, clarion, for all Republicans across all 50 states. Ronald Reagan said it, never stop teaching. And I'll add to that, never stop explaining yourself, what you're doing, why you're doing it, why it's in the best interest of the American people. Simply pointing out repeatedly, and you're getting a lot of this from Capitol Hill Republicans right now, that the Democrats are jerks for weaponizing this process. That's not enough. Because at the end of the day, most Americans are not political science professors. They think, all right, Trump's the president. Republicans have at least a numerical majority in the House and the Senate. So naturally, if things aren't going the way that I want them, or if they're not getting where I need them to be as quickly as it should, then it must be the fault of the Republican Party. Clearly much more complicated than that. But you can't just assume people are going to get there on their own. And I think that's part of what's frustrated me lately as someone that wants to see this country succeed, somebody that wants to see America First and MAGA succeed, and, you know, obviously somebody who lives in New Jersey and really could have benefited from having a governor who's not a moron. And speaking of our governor-elect who is a moron, Mikey Sherrill, it still pains me to have to say it, but it doesn't do anyone any good to run away from reality. You'll recall, Daniel, that she tried as hard as she could to answer as few substantive questions as possible during the course of her campaign. Sadly, it ended up being a fairly effective strategy, right? Because if somebody is not willing to come out in the open and express their ideas, it's hard to attack something that they're not willing to lay on the table and openly debate. Well, one of those issues was the Immigrant Trust Directive. That is the Murphy administration policy that implemented sanctuary statehood in the Garden State. Mikey Sherrill hedged on sanctuary statehood throughout the course of the election. Then, just 24 hours after the fact, she spoke to reporters, and Lieutenant Governor-elect Dale Caldwell was there alongside her to discuss how the transition would proceed. And Sherrill told us what those of us that paid attention already knew, which is that she's going to keep at least parts of the Immigrant Trust Directive in place, that she doesn't intend to change it. Her exact quote was, "I am focused on keeping people safe here, and I've lined that out exactly how that'll operate." I think she was trying to say outlined, but English is hard. But the Immigrant Trust Directive has a lot of those aspects in it, which I've been supportive of. So you kind of touched on this in the first hour, Dan, that it's frustrating that people don't always seem to be plugged into what they're voting for. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But if you voted for Mikey Sherrill because you're angry that your groceries aren't getting cheaper fast enough, okay, I mean, that's your prerogative. It's a free country. But one of the reasons why things are the way they are, especially in urban New Jersey, is the unrestricted flow during the Biden years of illegal aliens, which necessarily put a tremendous strain on local resources and also, in some instances, dry prices. Well, you just voted to continue that problem in the state of New Jersey. Thankfully, the Trump administration is doing what it can to secure the border and to get criminal legal aliens out of here. But New Jerseyans have repeatedly said that they don't like sanctuary statehood. Well, you just voted for it. You should have done a little more digging. So here we are. I mean, we had one instance not that long ago where a illegal alien is accused of killing a mother and her daughter in a drinking and driving crash down at the Jersey Shore. Sadly, I think we're going to have more stories like that. You had your chance. Elections have consequences, and sometimes those consequences go beyond just your life being more expensive. Sometimes it truly is a matter of life and death, and it's not hyperbole, folks. Use the Google. Use the interwebs. Look it up. But you don't have to look very hard to listen to the Matt Rooney Show, which is available just about everywhere online. Lucky ducks, you are. When we come back, Dan's Fact of the Week at long last, Twit Talk still around the corner, so much more on this episode of our show. Don't go anywhere.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
I definitely didn't have it on my bingo cards as we come up to the end of 2025, folks. Sydney Sweeney being one of the most effective conservative commentators of the year. And of course, Sydney Sweeney hasn't come out and said anything overtly political, but sometimes actions speak a hell of a lot louder than words, right? And her Sydney Sweeney has great genes ad, I think, has done more than anything else to, first of all, combat wokeism, which is now on the ropes in most parts of this country, but also show people the path forward with how to combat wokeism, right? Do it with a smile. Do it with confidence. Don't play their game. It's good advice for everyone. And she's continuing this strategy, which, I mean, maybe it's not conscious. Maybe this is just who the woman is. I certainly don't know her. Believe me, if I knew Sydney Sweeney, you all would be the first to hear about it. And I speak for Daniel as well on that front. She sat down with an interview with GQ, I think it was, Dan,
yep,
this past week, with someone who could not be more of a contrast to the current it girl in American culture. Smuggest, snarkiest, leftist Karen I think I have ever seen, which is really saying something, given what I do for a living, where I live in the country. You may have seen this cut already, but if you haven't, let's play this snippet of the interview for you.
We're sort of talking around this American Eagle ad right now, and maybe we should just talk about it. So were you surprised by the reaction?
I did a Gene ad. I mean, the reaction definitely was a surprise, but it was, I love jeans. All I wear are jeans. I'm literally in jeans and a t-shirt, like, every day of my life.
Jeans are uncontroversial. Jeans are awesome.
Yeah, I like your jeans.
You look great in your jeans. I think I know how you're going to answer this, but I'm going to ask anyway. I mean, the president tweeted about the jeans ad, or Truth Social about the jeans ad, and that just seems to me like a very crazy moment for anyone, and I wondered what that was like.
It was surreal.
It was surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that she's trying to get Sydney Sweeney to apologize. And that's where the interview went from there. She's like, you know, do you want to take this opportunity to explain yourself? And Sydney Sweeney, in so many words, was like, nope. But
what is she supposed to say? Yeah, it was a racist ad. I'm so disrespected that, like, this, and
right,
you know, it just should have never been made. Like, I don't know what she wants to hear. Like, it was
that's precisely what she wants to hear, right? That Sydney Sweeney is supposed to engage in this secular religious ritual that young woke women insist upon in 2025, where she's now supposed to kind of like verbally flagellate herself in public and apologize. For, as Sydney Sweeney said very well, I like jeans. I did a jean ad. They paid me. I mean, you know, that's all it was. This is how you combat mental illness, by proceeding confidently with your course. And then when it's presented by someone that is clearly a little kooky, and this is one of the limitations of the medium. If you haven't seen this exchange, you need to go look at this liberal interviewer. She's got the crazy eyes, Daniel.
Yeah, she does.
If one of your friends at the bar this weekend, maybe you guys all go out after tonight's haunted house, says, hey, I want you to meet my new girlfriend, Dan Karen, and she's got those eyes this interviewer has, what is your reaction going to be? You're going to try to tell your friend to run. It's scarier than anything you're going to see in the haunted house. There's clearly something wrong with this lady. But that's how you deal with them, how Sydney Sweeney just dealt with them. Make them the one that is obviously crazy with the sanity of your own presentation. And sometimes, obviously, you got to get a little bit more aggressive. But let's face it, Sydney Sweeney has assets, tangible and otherwise, which make it a little bit easier for her. She also has the greatest Are You Serious face that I think I have ever seen. People focus on other aspects of Sydney Sweeney. We'll leave that alone since this is a family program. But that is a stare that could cut diamonds, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, diamond cutters. Not to be confused with nipples. But diamond cutter.
It's when I forget sometimes why it's so important to have you here, you say something like that, and I say, you know what, that is the...
We really don't
unparalleled.
Need him,
we do need you here for that kind of unparalleled analysis.
What would you do without me?
No, I don't know. I really don't know. I stopped thinking about it because it's not really an option anymore. So we're kind of stuck together.
Yep.
More or less. Sorry. But you do bring some things to the table, including this little segment that we do where once a week you try to educate the masses, and God knows we need it after what we just saw in last week's election. So how about that fact of the week? Let's learn something.
Yeah. It's fall time, baby. We're going with a fall.
The leaves
fact.
Are turning. Leaves are, they're gold.
They're turning. They're falling. That's what it's all about. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You like pumpkin spice?
Oh, you know I do.
You a pumpkin spice guy?
I am, although all pumpkin spice is not created equal.
That's correct, because pumpkin spice...
It depends on whose pumpkin spice we're pushing.
That's because pumpkin spice doesn't contain actual pumpkin. Did you know that?
What?
The actual spice is cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves, and sometimes allspice, like the McCormick's, John. But the pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks does contain pumpkin puree. But the actual sprinkle spice does not contain any pumpkin.
All right, so when you go to Starbucks, there is some pumpkin in that that gelatinous substance that makes it into your latte.
Yes, the pumpkin spice latte does contain pumpkin puree. However, the spice that you use for Thanksgiving or, you know, you sprinkle on top of whipped cream or whatever does not contain any pumpkin at all. It is just cinnamon, nutmeg, and other things.
See, this is the great thing about Dan's Fact of the Week. This just wasn't a fact of the week. This was like a consumer report.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good job, bud.
You also know that fall is the best time for apple picking?
There's no doubt about that. By the way, Dan has been hired by the Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce. Into Pennsylvania.
Yeah, to get people into apple picking.
Yeah, apple picking and haunted houses and all the other things that happen this time of year. One pump of Starbucks pumpkin spice sauce, which you just told us contains pumpkin spice puree, that's about 25 calories. So if you get three or four pumps of pumpkin spice, you're definitely adding some calories to your drink. That's significant. Yeah. Also, about 6 grams of sugar per pump.
Yeah,
that's a decent amount. You got to cut back on the pumpkin spice latte if you're training for a zombie run or something of the like.
Hey, there's no training for that zombie run at all. I show up, I do my thing, and I leave.
Do you actually run? Do you just dress like a zombie and just walk like a zombie, or you actually expect to run?
No, it's an actual
while
5K.
In the costume. Okay,
it's an actual 5K.
But just dress like a zombie, or do the zombies chase you?
No. So it's a 5K. It's through Field of Screams, but so it's like basically a baby Tough Mudder. Like there's obstacles and stuff like that, and you have zombie, and you have quote unquote zombie fields, which is infested with zombies that you have to try and run past.
And okay,
you have three flags. If they grab all three flags, and you're considered infected. And if you have any flags left at the end of the race, then you survive, essentially.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's kind of like half run, part capture the flag, flash tag.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, it's actually 3 miles, yes. But, you know, you have to crawl, you have to climb, you have to, you know, all this kind of stuff. You go through some of the attractions. Obviously, there's no actors in it, but you go through some of the attractions. You go through the haunted hayride trail and all that kind of stuff, and then end up at the start, obviously.
Interesting. And have you done one of these before?
Yes, this is my third year doing it.
He's an interesting cat, ladies and gentlemen. One of the more unique people you ever meet in your life, Producer Dan. But thousands of people are into this stuff.
Oh yeah, dude. They have a time slot starting at, I want to say 11, and every half hour it goes until I think about 8:30. And there's just hundreds of people that do this thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Bella won't do it with me because she doesn't run. She has a bad knee. I've tried recruiting her. I've tried recruiting her mom to do it because I know her mom used to do 5Ks. I tried recruiting my mom to do it. I've tried recruiting everyone to do it, but it seems like it was just me the past 2 years.
Huh. Fascinating. All right. Well, maybe next year. I'm going to start my intermittent fasting again. So I got to start doing some 5Ks. I got to drop some poundage. I got
to
get rid of my.
To do it. If you're free next Saturday, you're more than welcome to do it.
Maybe I will. I just don't want to put on makeup or anything. I don't want to do that.
No, I mean, you could pay for that. People pay to be a runner and a zombie. But for the most part, you can just register to be a runner and just go through.
I mean, if I dress like a zombie and ran behind you, because I'm sure you're going to be faster, it would look like I was dying. It would look authentic. I would be, but that'd be because I was on the verge of a cardiac event.
I can do the whole thing in about an hour and a half. Maybe a little under.
Because remember, there's obstacles and stuff.
Yeah, I think if I ran the whole thing, I could probably get it done in about an hour.
All right.
But it's about an hour and a half because I run a little bit, I walk a little bit to catch my breath, and then I do the obstacles. You don't have to do the obstacles. You can like run around them if you need to. I mean, it's encouraged that you do the obstacles, but you can run around them if so be it.
Hmm. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a picture or video popping up of me at a zombie run next week. Wouldn't that be fun for all of you? Stay tuned. We'll see. We shall see. Although I fell last week and I'm TMI, I'm losing a toenail. So I got to wrap that. Can you wrap that for me?
I don't have the facilities for that, big man.
You don't have the facilities for that? I didn't say that I needed to have an arm amputated.
I don't have the facilities for that either, but we can manage something.
All right, we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. The Democrat Party, even though they had a really good week, by most objective measures, that's the word I'm looking for, they may still find themselves in a dangerous situation moving forward. I kind of alluded to this earlier when I said, you know, now they have to run with guys like Jay Jones and Mamdani leading their party. I've also got news for you. Even though she tried to present as less crazy, Mikey Sherrill ain't exactly setting the world on fire with her intellect or her ideas. So I don't predict that New Jersey's going to have much to brag about, sadly, over the course of the next year or so. You know who kind of sort of agrees with me? John Stewart, of all people. So on Thursday, 48 hours after Democrats won sweeping victories in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and beyond, John Stewart, of all people, said that he thinks the Democrat Party remains a hot mess and generally directionless. He was on The Weekly Show with John Stewart. He said that Democrats have failed to harness potential energy in the country. This is the quote. I think the Democrats are still a mess. I truly believe they're a mess. Just because what this shows to me is, again, there is this underlying potential energy within the United States of America that is much larger than I think any of us could have imagined. And channeling the energy directionally will be the challenge forever once to harness it. I still don't believe we're doing that. So I guess what he's trying to say is that Tuesday's victories demonstrate that that Democrats have the ability to win large-scale elections, which they were concerned after getting their keisters kicked in 2024 they would be able to do. I hate to break it to John, but I think as per usual, his analysis is a little off there. There's some truth nuggets in there, but he's kind of missing the bigger picture. The reason why Democrats won such a large victory in places like New Jersey and Virginia, besides the fact that these places are not easy places for Republicans to win begin with, it has a whole heck of a lot to do with the perceived successes that Republicans are racking up or not racking up that they ran on last year. So I would argue that it's not so much energy for Democrat ideas. In some ways, this was a protest vote directed at the Republican Party itself. So that means it's a problem the Republicans can solve. A lot of Democrat voters, and we've discussed this at length today, they're not really voting for something. I don't think, for example, a lot of these young people are really excited about socialism. I think the people that hate the orange man, they were never voting for Republicans anyway. TDS is a permanent chronic condition. There's no known cure, even though some scientists are beginning to work on it. I don't think that energy out there runs quite the way that John Stewart thinks it does. But, you know, what do I know, folks? I've been wrong before, even though it is a rare thing. Here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a quick break to play some ads, make some money. But don't worry, we'll be able to come right back here in just a few moments. That's how it works to round out today's program. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Matt Rooney back on the Matt Rooney Show. 2 hours flies when you're having fun. And, you know, we did have some fun today, even though things definitely don't seem that great after Tuesday. I've been at this political thing long enough now to know that you're going to have tremendous highs. You're going to have seemingly inescapable lows. And that's just the way that it goes. And I'm not trying to rhyme. This isn't a Dr. Seuss book. This is a podcast. But you got to remember that the beauty of how our system works is there's always, or at least usually, an opportunity to learn from loss and to get it right. I do have deep concerns in states like my own, Garden State, New Jersey, that we're rapidly approaching the point of no return. Ask somebody in California all about it. You can get to a juncture where you lose a critical mass of doers and you've got nothing but takers and also people so wealthy and out of touch that they just candidly don't care anymore, right? You can get to that point. I don't think we're quite there in New Jersey, but we're on our way. But I still think that there is tremendous potential for the America First movement in this country. I think that we've got a lot of room for growth that still remains. We just got to get busy. We got to work and we got to get creative and we can't be afraid to rock the boat. You know that we aren't here on the Matt Rooney Show. Otherwise, I would never let the segment that's coming up here at the end of this hour happen. Would never. We also can rely upon Democrats to dig themselves a hole, which has been one of the themes of today's program. Barack Obama is good evidence of that, a man who his support has never really done much good for his party other than getting himself elected. After Tuesday's big election results and a number of Democrat wins all across the Eastern Seaboard, President Obama suggested that his fellow Democrats should welcome socialists with open arms in the interest of broadening the party. Tuesday was nice, but we've got a lot of work to do, and your task is going to be to not impose litmus tests, Obama told a podcaster. We had Abigail Spanberger win, and we had Zohran Mamdani win. And they are all part of a vision for the future. Our job is to say that we want everybody engaged. So you see what Obama's doing there. He's a lot of things, but he's not a complete dope. Rather than outright endorsing socialism, Democrat socialism, whatever you want to call it, he's being cute and he's saying, whoa, 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 let's not push these people away. Let's embrace them. Let's be part of a large tent that includes people that believe in no ownership of private property or publicly owned supermarkets. This is how you normalize crazy. And it's something that is ultimately going to come back to bite Democrats in the keister eventually. I firmly believe it. I wish that places like New York could get there before they reach the critical stage. Pretty soon, New York is going to resemble a Batman movie, which Batman movies are a hell of a lot of fun. We've got a leading expert here, producer Dan, but you want to watch them. You don't want to actually live in a Batman movie because it ain't so nice. So have faith, folks. I think things are still going to get a little bit darker before they get better, but we've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. The left does not know how to govern. Their ideas suck. We have the benefit of knowing that we're right. Our ideas work. They improve the freedom and prosperity of the American people. Things are going to come around if we commit ourselves right now to realizing that future. And we may get a little help from the Obama Democrats that are often their own worst enemy. Now, of course, I am my own worst enemy for allowing this next segment to go forward. But I'll be honest, after this busy week, I just don't have the energy to stop it. So what is it called again, Daniel?
Hey, guys, gather around. Gather around.
It's Twit Talk time.
That's right. The most depraved segment in all of radio is back this week. Dan trolls the internet.
It's the greatest segment. You're just a hater.
I'm not. I couldn't hate it that much if I let it happen.
This is true.
But you go all over the internet looking for insane clips that are primarily designed to make me uncomfortable, and occasionally there's a useful nugget in there as well, whether it be accidental or not.
They just come to me, man. That's all they do. They just come to me.
the clip whisperer. So what do you got?
You ever do this grocery shopping, and then you just decide, you know what? I don't want to eat any of that food. I'm gonna go out and get something else.
Oh, well, all the time, and it's especially when I try to be healthy and then regret it later.
Yeah. Well, next time you think about it, you should share it.
Okay.
I don't give a f- how much I just spent on groceries. I'm getting Wingstop. Come on. Yo. God's greatest glutton. Tap in.
God's greatest glutton.
That's my life story.
I've never had Wingstop.
I've never had Wingstop either. I've heard good things. It's not the worst for you, but I've got too many Chick-fil-A's between my house and some of the places I go.
Love Chick-fil-A.
And that's a problem. Oh, yeah. I love that shit. I like the spicy chicken sandwich with the pickle.
Yeah.
I don't need the cheese or anything.
No, you got to get the Colby Jack on it.
You like the Colby Jack?
Yeah. You got to get that Sunjoy, too, the sweet tea lemonade.
See, that's what I can't get around. I'm not a sweet tea guy. I'm probably too much of a northerner, I guess.
Well, they have unsweetened tea and lemonade.
Oh no, yeah, their other stuff's good. I'm not a sweet tea guy. Is my point.
That's crazy. Anyway, you know who Queen is?
The band.
Yeah. Well, this guy went to the home of Queen.
They have a home?
I guess so. This guy went to it.
And okay. At Queen's house, home of Freddie Mercury. Very good, very homosexual man. You have mustache like Joseph Stalin. He is my favorite.
He was actually standing in front of the Queen's home.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Well, but, you know how that goes.
Two dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well.
Very homosexual man.
Very homosexual. So is that guy trying to be, because this is always a question with some of these clips, is he trying to be funny?
I do,
or was that incidental comedy?
Nah, he's probably trying to be funny. I don't know.
Okay. You can never tell.
I don't question it. I just save them and then upload them.
Yeah. Probably better that way.
This guy went to Costco, I guess, and he described his outfit. But there's something that I want you to find out what's wrong with it. So pay close attention.
Okay.
I'm at Costco right now. Michelle Obama hat. You see the Gucci? Got the Rick on. Dogs out. I'm buying meat.
Find the problem.
Could we have it one more time for those playing at home?
I'm at Costco right now. Michelle Obama hat. You see the Gucci? Got the Rick on. Dogs out. Buying meat.
Did he say Michelle Obama hat?
Yes, he did.
What is a Michelle Obama hat?
I think it was just a hat with Michelle Obama like collaged on.
Okay. I mean, if you're going to see something weird like that, I guess you're going to find it at Michelle Obama is a least favorite place on the planet, Walmart. But what do I know?
Right. You don't have a Michelle.
Oh, I think I actually found it though.
What was it?
Unfortunately, well, I can put this up on my handle later, Matt Rooney NJ over on X, but here you go. Check your textual messages, Daniel.
I can also send you a picture.
Is this it? Is this it? What I just sent you?
It's close to it.
That is wrong.
Yeah, it's close to it.
That's wrong.
That's not at all what I wanted to do. Let me see if I can find it, and then I'll send it to you.
All right, we'll put yeah, a logo on X for everybody. Yeah, yeah.
This girl let her boyfriend go on a vacation, and this is what she had to say.
My boyfriend's going on a solo trip. I love that independence. Sign the declaration. You're so independent. Right. Yeah, he's probably going to No Girls Allowed Island. Right. He's probably going to No Girls Allowed Island.
No Girls Allowed Island. Denial just ain't a river in Egypt.
You are gay.
Yeah.
Man, you love the shrill ladies of TikTok, don't you?
I do.
You do. Which is so the opposite of Bella. Maybe that's why you find it so amusing.
Yeah. Our favorite Just a little sneak peek of what's coming up. She is back again with another good thing that I can appreciate. I guess it's just me being young, but this is what she said.
If I ask you the time and you start speaking in Morse code or riddles like, oh, it's just a queef past 10 or like a quarter past down the yellow brick road and a fart over until 12 a.m. I'm sorry, I have no fucking idea what you're saying.
Is that how people talk online?
Yes.
Your generation is so strange.
I don't know, but I hate when they say quarter past, and I'm like, just tell me what it is. Like, you know, I don't want to tell what's quarter. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just tell me it's like 11:45.
Somebody just explained to me the other day what 6-7 means.
There is no meaning to 6-7.
Doesn't it mean like so-so?
That's what some people argue, but there really is no meaning to 6-7. No one knows what it means.
Okay. Kind of appropriate for Gen Z, but moving on.
Are you a believer in modern medicine?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be alive without it.
Cool. Well, so is this one.
I got a boo-boo. I would say kiss it and make it better, but I believe in modern medicine. I put Neosporin on it, which I can't believe also gives you autism, along with circumcised weenies and Tylenol. Can you believe that? And it's my own fault. That's the worst part of getting a boo-boo, is that it could be your own freaking fault. I did it to myself, not intentionally, never intentionally. But oh boy, does it hurt. It's right on the nail bed. It stings! It stings! Everyone say you're sorry. Not that you did it, but like, give me well wishes. Right? Get a coin, throw it into a well, and wish. But it only can be for one thing. And if you want specific wording, I'll give it to you now. Ooh, we're so sorry about the thing that happened to you. Ooh, I hope that maybe one day, someday soon, you'll be healed and nothing will ever go wrong for you again. Also, you have a hot, hot looking face and your body is tea. So say that you can do it in whatever cadence you want. I don't care. The words work. The spell is all about vibes and the words that you say. So love you.
My favorite part of that is when she said, I know it's not your fault, but give me well wishes.
I didn't know circumcised weenies give you autism.
Oh, well, commonly known fact.
Last week I showed you a song. I have another one.
Science denier. Go ahead.
I am a science denier. Last week I showed you a song. Do you remember that song?
Which one?
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
This time I have another one
with a different underlying meaning.
Oh, good.
Here we go.
My uncle said he broke right out of silly jail last night. He said we're going on a trip and packed the car up tight. We stopped to get some pizza. He sprinkled on plants on the ground. I didn't know he loved mushrooms so much, but his pupils turned big and round. Then the sky turned dark. They moved him right onto the benches.
Then mommy came to pick me up and gave him evil eyes.
He whispered she should watch herself.
I know the truth behind the lies.
Wow. Wow. When does that open on Broadway?
I don't know. I was going to ask the same thing, but her uncle escaped from silly jail. Start taking mushrooms and hallucinating.
The interwebs is so weird.
And to wrap it all up, our favorite comedian.
It's tough making friends as an adult. My whole life, I've always ended up with black friends. I played basketball and Navy. Out of 200 white guys, 5 black guys, I end up being friends with a black guy. But I want some white friends or, like, Asian friends. Just wanted your advice, like, how does that happen? Or do I just stick with this, hey, this is how it is. Like, black friends are my thing.
No, brother, I don't think that, I don't think. I think you can get all types of friends. You know, basketball is a gateway drug to just a brotherific type. Go out into your neighborhood right now. Dribble a basketball in the street. See if a couple brothers don't show up.
Wise words of Theo Von.
Easily one of the most influential voices of election 2024.
Yep.
Oh, if you thought things were going to get less weird in 2025, joke's on you, folks. Can't always predict a landslide, but that much is certain, which is why you need the Matt Rooney Show here on good old 1210 WPHT. Another show in the can. We'll be back next Saturday. But until then, remember, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it.